Welcome to the inaugural episode of the Falcoholic Crossfire, our argumentative podcast focused on ruthlessly debating questions about the Falcons and the NFL. I am your moderator, David Walker, DW. You guys know me from the Falcoholic podcast. And joining me today are our two combatants. The first, you know her very well. She is my co-host on the Falcoholic podcast. She has 1 million nicknames at this point. I'm speaking, of course, none other than Gina Matt Online Thomas. Gina, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. And Chambers, I am going to ruin your life today.
Oh, boy, here we go.
You cannot ruin my life any worse than I have already done it. You got to get in line, sister.
I'm gonna bring my A game.
And Gina's already conveyed who our other combatant is in this contest, and is none other than he of the fiery fire takes on the Falcoholic. And of course, we're talking about Matt Chambers. Matt, how are you doing, man?
Hey, I'm just ready to show Gina what's up. I mean, this isn't Twitter. You don't have anyone coming to help you out. It's just you and me, one-on-one.
Oh, damn. All right. That's how this is going to go. Fantastic. All right. So here are the rules of Falcoholic Crossfire. It's very simple. We will have a selection of topics that will be either focused around the Falcons or the NFL in general. The two combatants have agreed ahead of time to the sides of the argument that they will take on this. Each side will have no more than 90 seconds to give their facts and data and whatever they want to do to support their standpoint. And of course, at thefalcoholic.com, we will have a poll. So for those of you listening, when this podcast hits, you will be able to vote on who the winner of our very first Crossfire episode was, Gina or Matt. So with that said, let's get to the topics. Topic number one. Remember, 90 seconds. I will give you warning at 15 seconds and 5 seconds before your time runs out. Here's the topic. Is Steve Sarkisian for real? Have we seen a real turnaround in this Falcons offense after game 2, the beatdown of the Carolina Panthers, or is this yet another smokescreen? So, arguing for the fact that this is something Falcons fans can look forward to and that this is the real deal, Matt Chambers, on my mark, you can
actually
start.
I think Matt was taking the opposite position.
No, he's arguing for Sark.
I was thinking Sark is for real.
You were? Yep.
Yes, he is.
Oh, okay.
I'm the moderator. I've got the notes.
We gotta go to the moderator.
Dang, I have the easy position. All right, let's go. do your worst, Chambers. Good luck.
90 seconds on my mark. Matt, make your point.
All right. To start off, I didn't realize there was going to be a poll, so I apologize to every reader I was potentially unkind to in the comments at one time or the other. That was not me. I've spent some time reflecting, and that was all very wrong of me. And I'm sorry if I banned you. I don't know if you can vote or not. But if I have banned you and you can vote, I'm sorry, and we'll work on something. But back to Sarkisian. I'm actually very excited to see what he has in store for the rest of this season. I feel like so. The game against the Carolina Panthers, which, by the way, a very, very good defense, I saw a ton of stuff we saw back in 2016. 2016? Yeah. These years are kind of passing by. You know, we really saw him utilizing Tevin Coleman for the first time, basically since he's been here. Like, just correctly utilizing Tevin Coleman. We saw a lot of pre-snap motion that was a just staple of Kyle Shanahan. You know, it helps Matt Ryan figure out, hey, what's his defense going to be? I'm kind of figuring it out. It's really kind of expanded on, like, Sarkisian knowing, 15 seconds, Sarkisian really knowing kind of the strengths of his players. You've seen a lot of crossing routes, a lot of great stuff that is really hard to defend. And if you don't like it, you're probably just some hater from Ohio. I don't know.
There we go. Gina, you heard his arguments. He got his 90 seconds.
I heard his air quote arguments. But here's the thing. Steve Sarkisian, this was the 20th game that he has been in charge of this offense. And so we're talking about a very small sample size. A very small sample size. And yes, the Falcons offense, it's a scientific argument. Like, if we are looking at the Falcons offense as a whole under the leadership of Steve Sarkisian, you've got one game where the offense looked back to its 2016 glory, and then you have 19 games where they look like actual bullshit. And so my thing is, it's a fluke. It's got to be a fluke. I mean, statistics say that that's not the real Falcons offense. And yes, did Sark spread the ball around in a way that actually made sense for once in his life? Yes, he did. But it was once in his life. And we're talking about 19 other games where we were like, why are you zoning in on Julio and not throwing the ball to anybody else? Julio's in quadruple coverage and he can't score in the red zone because he's blanketed by defenders. And
15.
Yeah. And so my thing is, it's one game. And I don't think that we can pin our hopes on one game. I cannot, until I see this consistently from Sark, I cannot buy it.
She beat the timer. All right. There it is, folks. If you're listening in, keep in mind of these two viewpoints and who you thought did the best job.
And beating the timer does not get you extra points. That's actually probably a deduction of points.
But the thing is,
if you feel strongly enough, you go past your time and you just talk
about it. As an attorney, you should know when I rest my case, I rest my case.
Yeah, it's a bad time to rest your case.
Agree to disagree.
You rest your case, and I'm about to go in and win.
I certainly didn't see arguments coming from these two. Yeah. Anyhow, moving forward. Topic number two. This one is going to branch out a little bit, and we're going to talk about the NFC. Gina, you're going to start this one off for us. Which NFC team will finish this season with the best record? Make your case.
Well, this is probably going to sound a little bit weird, given that I just dunked all over Steve Sarkisian and probably ruined his life, but I'm going to say the Atlanta Falcons for a number of reasons. They are stacked with talent. And so Matt Ryan, 2016 MVP, very talented. He's got an arsenal of weapons at his disposal. He's got Julio Jones, probably a top two receiver in the league. Calvin Ridley, who really had a coming out party against the Panthers last week in Steve Sarkisian's aberration of a game that he actually called well.
It was bullshit, Austin, I believe.
Austin Hooper, who should be coming into his own. You know, you've got, when he's healthy, Devontae Freeman, and then Tevin Coleman in the backfield. You just have such a talented offense. And so I think, looking at the way some of these other teams have played, like the Eagles, sure, Nick Foles has been starting, but Carson Wentz is going to come back and be rusty. The Rams, they have a ton of talent, but they have a very young and inexperienced quarterback. The Vikings, they've had a ton of turnover in the coaching staff. And so I think that's going to make a difference. And so I think that when you look at it objectively and look at the way that teams like the Panthers and the Saints are playing, I think it's going to be the Falcons. I really do think it's going to be the Falcons.
Five.
Oh, I still think it's going to be the Falcons.
There's no other way to win an argument other than to say your point three consecutive times.
It works for a lot of people. I'm going to adopt that as my method. Just be repetitive. Tell the people the same thing over and over until they believe it. That's my approach.
It works for a lot of people. We're going to leave that one alone. Chambers, you've heard her argument for the Falcons. NFC team with the best record. Make your case.
Now, Jenna. Am I saying this right? Jenna? Jeannie, okay. You cannot sweep the Tampa Bay Bucks under the rug like you're Urban Meyer. Right now, the Bucks have the most points in the entire NFC. After two games, Ryan Fitzpatrick
Fitz magic.
Fitzmagic, 75 points in two games. This is really kind of like a, I don't know exactly how I want to call this, but the whole coaching staff is trying to keep their job here, and they're honestly killing it. The Bucks are very fun to watch, and I mean, I don't even know if I need to like point at their success. They beat the Eagles. Atlanta did not. The Buccaneers, like, actually, they blew out the Eagles. It was pretty awesome. I mean, all I'm saying is I have some sort of consistency in my arguments. I'm not going to say the Falcons are going to win the NFC, but then also say Sarkisian is trash because those don't really even up. And I'm going to say, hey, you know, maybe they have a healthy Devonta Freeman. I don't remember ever having Devonta Freeman healthy. It's been, I don't know. I feel like I was still in high school last time Devonta Freeman was healthy for this team. You can't rely on him when the Bucks are stacked at wide receiver and Fitzmagic is putting it together this year. Bucks going first.
There we go.
I need a 5-second rebuttal. I need a 5-second rebuttal.
I'm going to deny that.
And my
because it's Eugenio, I will grant 10 seconds. You have 10 seconds.
My 10-second rebuttal is this. Mike Smith and Dirk Cutter.
I object. This is irrelevant.
How many times have we seen Mike Smith in a position to actually make some noise in the playoffs? And then all of a sudden, whoo, that evaporates. And by the way, Ryan Fitzmagic is spectacular. He's not the starter. It's Jameis Winston. I rest my case.
Hey, Mike Smith wasn't bad.
Second rebuttal.
Like, I don't know, 2012? He won a couple games? Playoffs.
He won a playoff game.
Hold on. I don't even need to argue that what they're going to do in the playoffs because I just said, hey, they're finishing first in the NFC. Come the playoffs, we're probably going to see a Mike Smith disaster. So I'm still
fair. Fair enough. I'll accept it.
All right. We're going to table that topic because you two are getting a little feisty. That's fine.
That's the point.
But we're going to move on to topic number three. Who started the last one? Gina did. All right, Matt, you're going to start this one. Who will finish the Falcons season with more rushing yards? Tevin Coleman or Devontae Freeman? Matt, you have chosen to say Tevin Coleman will do it. Make your case.
This is the easiest case I've ever made. Number one, Devonta Freeman is on my fantasy team. That is a recipe for disaster. And here we are. Devonta Freeman got like 6 carries. He might have gotten me like, I don't know, 5-6 points or something. Boom. He's gone. He's down. We don't even really have an idea. Like, all we've heard from Dan Quinn is like, I don't know, things are looking pretty good. And that's what he usually says before someone ends up on injured reserve. So, I mean, he's definitely not playing Sunday, and it doesn't sound like he's playing anytime soon. I think Tevin Coleman has the perfect opportunity to show everybody, hey, someone needs to pay me, I don't know, $30, $40 million next year. And, I mean, just look at what he did last week against Carolina. He just beat the shit out of the Panthers. It was, oh, man, some of those plays. He had this one run where he ducked this defender. It was – I haven't quite seen someone, like, stop so quickly and switch where he was going. Like, I think this is really his coming out year, and he's not going to have anyone in his way because Devonta Freeman just has constant knee issues. I don't even need more time. That's it. Tell me Devonta Freeman is going to be healthy.
With 15 seconds left, the lawyer rests his case.
If someone tells me Devonta Freeman's going to be healthy, I'm going to call you a liar.
All right, Gina, you've taken the side that Devonta will finish with more rushing yards. Make your case.
You're damn right I did, and here's why. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I present to you the fact that my esteemed colleague, Matt Chambers, went to Indiana for law school. And so I was with Matt
Ohio. Just throwing that out there.
You're taking up my time. This is my
objection.
This is all
hearsay right now. We're going in hearsay.
At a Taco Mac, watching the draft when the Falcons drafted Tevin Coleman, and Matt lost his mind. And listen, Matt doesn't get excited about anything, but he was very excited about Tevin Coleman because he has Hoosier bias. that's what we can chalk this up to, folks. Tevin Coleman is very good. He is very good. This is not at all a slight on Coleman. However, Devontae Freeman is a special talent. He's so well-rounded as a receiver and a back. And we've already seen what he can do. He has been a fundamental part of this offense's success since Mike Smith finally let him play because of injuries. And so when Devontae comes back and is healthy, he's going to get the bulk of the workload. And that's just the way that it is. Dan Quinn isn't married 15. To giving players snaps because of their salary, but he is going to give Devontae more opportunities because of his salary and because he and Tevin are both so good. And so Devontae is going to win this battle easily. He is going to win this battle easily.
There we go. You two are getting a little feisty now. I'm hearing some ad hominem. Good old ad hominem, which goes well with, you know, chili and rice. But I'm just saying, some ad hominem in here. All right.
Oh, is she finally done going? Sorry, I was surfing Twitter.
You tuned it out.
I didn't realize it was something about Devontae Freeman not being injured all the time, and I just kind of phased out.
Your Hoosier bias is really
You said he was great, and I agree with you. That was your best point, which is agreeing with me and supporting everything I just said. Everything else you said was stupid as hell.
Well, agree to disagree vehemently, because you are wrong and I am right.
Damn. All right. We may have to get some boxing gloves for the next edition of the Falcoholic Crossfire podcast. Topic number four. Thank God we're getting closer to the end.
There's two laps. Right. We'll make it.
Yes, we're two more laps. All right. Gina, you're going to start this one. You've chosen the under. And the under on the topic is, will Matt Ryan exceed 4,700 passing yards this season? 4,700. Obviously, 4,800 is averaging right at 300 yards per game. Will Matt Ryan go above 4,700 this year? Gina, you said no. Make your case.
Well, the Falcons, because of how good they were last year and because of the strength of the division, they have a really tough schedule this year. And so the strength of this offense is really being able to spread the ball around, and you set up the pass by establishing the run. And when you have a talented backfield like Devontae and Tevin, who went to Indiana, so Matt is very biased toward him, it makes sense to really get those guys going. And we saw Ito Smith really moving the ball too on the ground last week against the Panthers with Devontae out. And so I think that they're going to rely on the run more, especially with those three guys who can really make things happen on the ground. And Matt's not going to have to pass as much, which is really a beautiful thing. And so I think that because of that and because of the defenses that they'll be facing, I just don't think that it's possible that Matt's going to get above 4,700 yards. I think that he'll get close to it, but I don't think that he's going to surpass that. And that's okay. I don't think that's going to hold this team back from winning games. I don't think it's a problem. I would like to see a more balanced offense. I think that we would all like to see more wins. And so it's a good situation, not a knock on Matt at all, but also going back to the whole Sarkisian thing, where I very strongly made a case against Steve Sarkisian being the real deal, and, you know, cautioned readers not to get too invested in last week's performance. I think that Matt goes for under 47, and that's fine.
There we go. Mm-hmm. All right, Matt, she threw a few jabs at you, buddy. So you're saying Matt Ryan will go for at least 4,700 yards. Make your case.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm still blown away at the disrespect for our franchise quarterback. I'm disgusted to have such a hater in our midst. Maybe Jenny would think Ryan gets over 4,700 yards if he went to Ohio, but that's impossible because all their quarterbacks have sucked ever. This is how Ohio fans are all the time.
It's the Ohio State.
Oh, yeah. Ohio State and mechanical repair workshop, whatever it's called. I don't want to get fucking semantic here. I'm here telling you about how Matt Ryan is going to throw more than 4,700 yards. I mean, he's done it in 2012. He's done it in 2017. Sorry, 2016. Jeez. Ugh.
Exactly. Well, thank you for making my point for me.
He's hit this with both of his previous offensive coordinators. And right now, everything is falling in line for Ryan to build on what he's already done early this offseason. He knows the offense. You have Calvin Ridley in there, Austin Cooper, probably the second best tight end he's ever had to throw to. Everything's just really lining up for Matt Ryan, especially his defense. Five. Injured defense, he's going to be throwing a ton for 5,000 yards. Call it.
You get 10 more seconds.
Me?
Finish your case.
Finish my case. I kind of threw it all out there at the last second. Without Deion Jones and Keanu Neal, they're going to be playing catch up. They're going to need to be scoring 30 plus points a game. And Matt Ryan's a guy who can do it. He's shown he can do it, and he's going to do it this year. That's it.
All right. Jen, any final thoughts on that topic?
Except for the fact that I win. No, I'm good. I won. That's it.
That's right.
That's all I have.
Bail out of your response.
All right.
The Ohio State thing to do.
The Ohio State.
Final topic. This one's a good one. This one lines up with some articles we've seen this week at thefalcoholic.com. You guys check those out daily. Tons of new content every single day with a fabulous stable of writers. Bringing you guys some amazing content during the season. Please check out the site daily throughout the day as those articles land quite frequently now. One of those topics, pass rusher Vic Beasley, obviously off to a slow start. Gina, you are making the case that this season, Vic Beasley will have at least, if not more, than 8 sacks. Again, we're talking about Vic Beasley, 8 or more sacks this season. Gina, make your case.
So here's the thing. Vic Beasley led the league in sacks in 2016. He had 15.5 sacks. That was more than Von Miller. That was more than Khalil Mack. Like, guys who are just dominant at the position. And so that year, through the first 3 games, he really didn't do anything. And so I don't think that what we've seen so far this year from Vic is representative of what he brings to the table. Vic is very talented. He has that speed off the edge. He's very athletic. He can get to the quarterback. And I think that a key for that is having Tack McKinley in there, who can also bring pressure. Like, it's double teams. And so if last year we saw his sack total drop, but it's because he led the league in sacks in 2016. So teams had to assign extra guys to him to keep him at bay this year. And of course, Tack is not healthy this week, but when Tack is on the field, they have to account for him too. And so I think that once Tack is fully healthy and not fighting through a groin injury, and we've seen what Tack can do, like, he was great against the Panthers. I think that teams are going to have to worry about containing Tack, which is going to open up opportunities for Vic. We know that Vic can get it done. We know that he can get to the quarterback. We know that he has the drive and the fire to do it. And so, I think that that's actually an easy call. Vic will definitely have more than 8 sacks this year.
All right. Matt, you've got the under. Make your case.
All right, and first off, I appreciate that you say we have a lot of talented writers at the Falcoholic, David, but I'm a little mad that you didn't include our less talented writers, such as myself. That's kind of biased, and I'm not happy about it. And all right, let's get to this. Now, Jamie will mention Vic Beasley in 2016. I had to go check my calendar to find out what year it is, because it is not 2016. It is also not 2017. It's almost 2019, and we haven't seen Vic Beasley do anything since, not even since the playoffs of 2016. He fell off, I think like week 13 or something. He just sort of stopped. And I mean, you know, she's right. He didn't do much in the first 3 games, which is literally the most consistent thing about his career ever. And we've seen him this year. He's not playing against double teams. He's not even playing against good tackles. I don't even remember the guy he played against against Carolina. His name was, I don't know, Jim, maybe? I don't know. It was some guy they signed off the street literally on Tuesday. Beasley's going one-on-one with this guy, and he's doing nothing. He's sucking out loud. Zero sacks against some undrafted off-the-street guy. He has no pass rush moves, and we're going to be lucky to get more than like four sacks out of him this year. Put in Brooks Reed at this point.
Wow, a Brooks Reed name drop at the end. That is pretty vicious. That's pretty vicious, Chambers.
Brooks has learned how to do a spin move, so I mean, there is that.
So he has at least two pass rush moves. That's twice as many as Vic Beasley has.
All right, here we are, folks. Five topics, five debates. It is now time for closing arguments. Gina, since you are my co-host and I have to deal with you every week, I'm going to let you start. You get 1 minute to let our listeners know why you believe you made the stronger arguments throughout this first Crossfire podcast. Make your case.
Look, Chambers is an attorney, so he came in here and he tried to build a case against me. But everybody knows that attorneys are trash, and Chambers especially is trash. Chambers is the New Orleans Saints of our staff, okay? And so, don't listen to anything that Chambers said. Just listen to me, the voice of reason. And you know how to vote in the poll. Vote for me. That's all I have to say. I don't even need the full time to wreck Chambers. It's that easy.
Oh, Counselor, Counselor Chambers, you have 60 seconds to make your rebuttal. Why did you win? Make your case.
Well, let's just go back into what Jimbo had to say throughout her entire. I don't really want to call it an argument. I just want to call it straight up stupid nonsense the entire time. Just trying to talk about Ohio State. All she did was shit on Steve Sarkisian. Steve Sarkisian played out of his mind. Like, he was fantastic on Sunday. Guess who shit on him? Jimbo. Guess who said Matt Ryan is not good enough to put up 4,700 yards? Jimbo. I don't know. I think she also said some other stuff. I kind of tuned out, to be honest with you. It was pretty boring, and generally just hated on the Falcons. And which is just disrespectful, and I don't appreciate it as a fan, and I don't think any of the voters should appreciate it at all. So vote for somebody who loves the Falcons and loves America as opposed to someone here.
Oh, he draped himself in the flag to close out the podcast.
He did. That was a low blow, my friend. That was a low blow.
I don't know what I was expecting, but I probably should have expected that. If we're being honest, none of this is a surprise, really.
We're gonna need to edit this. We're gonna need to edit this podcast down into like 4 minutes or something.
I'm just sticking the explicit tag on it, like we do every other podcast. So this is not safe for work, friends. All right, Gina. Matt, thank you for being the first to debate on the Falcoholic Crossfire. Very quickly, Gina, tell the listeners where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Gina Thomas. I am probably tweeting about the Ohio State Buckeyes or the Falcons or tweeting pictures of my dog. That's what you have to look forward to. You can also find me at The Falcoholic. I do more editing than writing these days, but I do some writing, and it's fun. I like writing about this team. They're great. Regardless of what my opponent would have you believe.
Counselor Chambers, tell the listeners where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Falcoholic Matt. I am, of course, one of the editors on the Falcoholic. So if there is a poll, I can find out who voted for who.
I don't have anything else
after that. I'm just letting everyone know. I can find out who you are.
I'm just letting everyone know. I know who you are, and I can ban you.
This went swimming.
Send me a message, and I will unban you, and I will give
now,
you.
Now we're threatening the listeners and the readers. Yeah,
this went very sideways.
All was fair in love and Falcoholic Crossfire.
I like that. That should be our slogan.
It should be our slogan.
All is fair.
I'm always good for those.
Love and Falcoholic Crossfire.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna keep that one. Yes, absolutely. All right. So for Gina, Matt Online Thomas, Matt Hot Takes Chambers. This is Dave Walker. We're thanking you guys for tuning in to this very first Falcoholic Crossfire. Do us a favor, guys. Send us your feedback. Let us know what you think about it. Any ideas you may have, topics you want to see debated in the near future. We plan to crank these out during the season as well. And guys, thank you for listening. We'll talk with you next time. We plan to crank these out during the season as well. And guys, thank you for listening. We'll talk with you next time.
Hello. I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seemed smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.